Preston and Steve Fun Size.
Got wind of this program on Netflix that is the number one in the country right now on Netflix.
Yeah.
I found that out yesterday. You guys told me about it last week, so watched it this week and immediately fell in love with it. And I can see why it's taken off, because we've all played this game. No.
We've been wanting to play this game.
Let me take that back. We all invented this game.
Yeah.
Every one of us did. Every one of us believes that we invented the lava game as a kid. And I hypothesize that it is, it's just in the genetics of being a human being.
It's a standard thing.
I just think that they did it in ancient Rome.
And they had real lava back then.
They had real lava back then at Pompeii to play with.
They probably did that in Pompeii. Yeah.
So,
all right, get across the kitchen if you can.
I think it, exactly.
Yeah.
I think it goes back to all of that.
There was no prize reward at the end of that, though.
I think the prehistoric man probably played a version of this game. So it's perfect, and that's why it strikes a chord. And one of the creators is from Philadelphia, from what I understand. How did you come across her, Steve?
So yesterday, we were talking about it on the air and had mentioned it, and then I forget the gentleman's name, but very nice, said, did you know that Megan, who we're going to talk to, is from Philadelphia? And I said, well, I do now. And then I tweeted out to her, and we started communicating on Twitter, and then Casey picked up the ball and ran with it.
She's the VP of Development at Haymaker Media, which put this whole thing together.
Yes.
So let's welcome from Megan McGrath, or let's welcome Megan McGrath from Floor is Lava. Hey, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So where do you live now, by the way?
I'm in L.A., so it is very early. Please forgive me.
No, it's okay.
It's quite all right. When did you move away? Well, where in this region are you from? We'll start there, and then we'll start getting into the show.
Sure. I'm from Boyertown. So we're right on, like, the Berks-Montgomery County line.
Oh, yeah. We just talked to a kid from there who has the largest mouth in the world.
Yeah, look it up.
He does.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Yeah, we talked to him last week.
Really on the map.
Yep.
Yeah, totally. You're running with the baton now.
Yeah. So you're from Boyertown, and
I am. And
how did you get in development of television shows?
Well, I went to Temple, and I was going to school for communications. I sort of thought I was going to end up in TV news, and then really, you're like right before graduation, I sort of panicked and was like, I don't know if I want to do news. I'm more interested in the entertainment side of things. So it was really either New York or L.A., and I picked L.A.
When were you going to Temple, Megan?
I graduated in 2012.
Okay. How did you not end up as one of our interns at some point? Half of Temple ends up being our interns.
I don't know. I interned at CHL 17 and NBC in Philly, NBC 10.
All right. So you made the rounds, and then you decided you wanted to do stuff on the entertainment, and you impressed me as someone who just has always had sort of a pop culture love. And is that what fueled your desire? Did you want to be entertainment in front of the camera, or did you want to be entertainment on the side you're currently on?
I never wanted to be in front of the camera. I always wanted to be a producer, and I sort of stumbled into development, and it turns out I'm okay at it. So that's sort of how I just fell into it, but it was a blessing.
All right. Did you pitch this idea of Floor is Lava, or did this come from someone else?
I did.
No kidding.
No, I pitched it. I mean, yeah, it's my job to think of TV shows, and personally, I love game shows and dating shows and challenge series, and, you know, I'm just constantly looking at what's happening in the world, what's happening in my life, and saying, how can I turn this into a TV show, a game show? And I was back in Boyertown at my parents' house, and I was reminded of playing Floor is Lava with my brother, and I just was like, how has nobody done this before? It's right in front of our noses. You know, like you guys said, everybody thinks that they invented it. You know, as kids, everybody plays it. Everybody thinks they're the ones who came up with it. So it was just like shocking to me that nobody else had thought of it for a TV show. And those are usually the best ideas, the ones where you're like, how has nobody done this before?
And we're communicating back and forth on Twitter, and you are clearly blown away by the response. But like The Guardian, The Guardian has called it the show to save the summer. So, and I mean, the funny thing, Megan, is that, and I was bringing this up earlier, even the most snooty TV critics seem to be won over by it. That has got to be an amazing thing for you.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I mean, I obviously thought it was a great idea. I wouldn't have pitched it if I didn't, but the reception is insane. It's been a wild week over here. I think we just don't take it seriously. As producers, we don't take it seriously. The show doesn't take itself seriously. So it's like sort of hard for critics to take it seriously. If you're, even the people who hate it end up loving it because it's so silly and fun and weird.
And last night, Lin-Manuel Miranda tweeted about it.
Oh, my God.
How wild is that?
Yeah, our text chain of executive producers sort of blew up immediately. His tweet was like, floor is lava, ?
Uh-huh.
So it wasn't anything, you know, mind-blowing. But for us, we were like jumping up and down.
Of course.
So
yes.
I choose to believe that he loves it.
And it will be his next Broadway musical.
So let's cover a little bit for those who may not know, those who may have had a horrible childhood and were not aware of Floor is Lava. So essentially it's a game that most kids have played where they're bored and they already made their living room fort and now they want to do something else, and they've decided that all of a sudden everything, the floor is off limits. It is lava. If you touch it, you burn to death. You die. So you've got to get from one spot to another, not touching the floor. You got to jump on the ottoman, and then you got to crawl across the couch, and then you got to make it over to, you know, that little part of by the fireplace that's not actually floor, but it's, you know, you can get on there, and then blah, blah, blah. So you guys have taken it to the nth level. You've taken it a la Wipeout or Legends of the Hidden Temple. You've had themes are not just living rooms. The first episode that I watched, I guess is the first one of the season, has kind of an Egyptian theme to it.
Right.
And the room, the lava, it's not just a floor. You guys have filled it. You have these objects. They have to get from one place to another, but you've filled it with what looks like lava. And I'm going to ask you what that stuff is, by the way. And if people fall into the water or touch the water, then they're dead, they're out, and three people have to make it from one end to the other.
Right.
And the more you get over to the end, the better your chances, and your time also comes into play as well. And the winner only gets, I think, $1,000, right?
It's $10,000, right, between three people. Is that correct, Megan?
$10,000.
$10,000, okay.
$10,000 and the Volcano of Victory.
The Volcano of Victory, of course. Okay. How can we forget?
So, number one, the production side of this, the set design has got to be through the roof. And I'll tell you what, Megan, maybe people have had the idea before, but they were just like, nah, it'll never work. It's too much of a pain in the ass. So you found the group that will do this. Who does this? What is that lava stuff made of? How many different rooms have you made? Let's hear a little bit about that type of thing.
Yeah, so we tasked a custom build shop in LA called Arete, and they were fantastic. They made all of our props from scratch. I mean, everything needed to be calculated for safety. You had to be able to face plant on it from 10 feet high and not lose a tooth or break an arm. So we didn't have any injuries the whole season, which I'm very happy to say. And they killed it. They did a really, really, really good job. So we had, I mean, hundreds of people worked on this show, from the painters to the prop makers to the slime guys to the editors.
So it looks very liquidy. It is lit up. It'll pulse. It'll bubble. The liquid. I've heard that the sets are filled with anywhere between 80,000 to 100,000 gallons. Is that even remotely correct?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What is that stuff?
So, really tell you. It's
a secret?
Slimy in property, but we spent months and months and months researching it and testing it in like a facility in North Hollywood in a dark garage with lights and glowing things. We tried really hard to, you know, we watched real videos of lava flows in Hawaii and tried to see what we could create out of that. It's a proprietary substance.
Okay. Enough, you don't want to reveal.
Tell you that. What was that?
You know, you don't want to reveal it, but what you say, you can tell us what?
I can tell you that everybody who played the game is alive and well. begging me to come back and play again. I've gotten hundreds of emails this week just from, you know, the contestants alone, asking when season two is and when they can come back and play a new game.
No, and I love how when people do fall into the lava, they just kind of disappear and
the
their teammates play along as if they have died, which I do love that. I don't know if you guys are now, you know, maybe trying to develop other games that we've played as children, like an adult, you know, version of a hide and seek or flashlight tag or, you know, ghost in the graveyard or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, Erod Eyal is the owner of Haymaker and my boss, and we have developed this together throughout the whole thing. We, for probably 6 months now, have been thinking along those lines. It's lava. Flora's lava is just like magical in that way that it's imaginative. So like every kid has played it and they're imagining the lava on the ground, and now we're making it real. So it just has that spark. I think we're figuring, we have some other stuff in the pipeline, but this one by far, I think, is the most fun right now.
Well, and you mentioned every kid playing that. You've got to create a version where the kids can do it.
Yeah, we would love to. So we haven't officially gotten a season two yet. I would encourage everybody to keep watching, watch the whole season. That's how Netflix is going to know that people want more of it. And we are crossing our fingers that we can do a season two, an All-Stars, a redemption run for the people who died, a kids version.
So to that point, they're going to be nuts if they don't renew it. This is a lightning in the bottle situation because, like, they have like a tag game that another network has now that they're doing. But this, again, you're right. It is lightning in a bottle because it has those things that everyone has sort of – we've wanted to do this for years. I think when I was corresponding with you, I said something we wanted to do at the Camp Out for Hunger, which is one of the biggest charity event that we run all year. But the logistics of it are just too difficult. Mm-hmm. Between the presentation and everything, again, they're going to be nuts if they don't do it. But I'm wondering if in a post-COVID environment, if Netflix or you would have any desire – in sort of pop-up versions of this going around the country in support and promotion of the show.
Yeah, we've gotten a lot of that too. People are asking about like an escape room version where they can play in real life. You know, there's a lot of magic in the TV and film industry world, so it would be expensive. It is expensive now to produce, so we would love to figure it out. I think that would be so much fun for people to be able to play in real life.
I would be in line to do it. I don't think I could. I think I would hurt myself if I tried to do it, to be honest.
She insists it's safe.
I know, but like my shoulder and stuff. I mean, just swinging from one thing to another would mess up. But listen, Megan, a number of texts coming in, and a few people are asking, and here's my, I'll give you my thought before you give your answer, is what the temperature of the liquid is. People are like, is it actually hot? Is it at least lukewarm? I'll bet you it's actually cold because it's hard to keep liquid like that warm. And I'll bet it looks hot, but it's actually cold. What do you know?
I know that. I can't tell you that.
Oh, really? You can't ruin. It's Preston. It's lava.
Is it more slippery than water? Can you tell us that?
It's definitely slippery.
Okay.
All right. It's not water. It's definitely slippery. Okay. And you can see that all the people that are sliding on the obstacles and face planting. Yes, it's definitely slippery. But the contestants throughout have maintained that it was hot.
And Megan, they sell it, as Casey said. Everyone sells it. The show is edited in such a way that when someone falls into the lava, you don't see them again. And that is a really wonderful conceit. Was that I assume it was a critical part of the decision making to sell the drama, correct? Yeah, it has to be. It worked well.
Surprisingly, we didn't have to give them, the contestants, much direction as far as, you know, what they needed to do. I think when you walk in that room for the first time and you see the set and the lava, it sort of like unleashes your inner 8-year-old.
Yeah.
And everybody just really, really went for it. They had fun. They played. They were dramatic and over the top and campy. And it was so much fun. And we were, you know, adamant from the beginning that once people fell in, that would be the end.
Yeah.
I sort of love the fact that they don't come back up. I feel like it elevates the tension.
That's it. That's everything.
It's excellent. And actually, real quick, I saw a text come in that says, I watched this with my 4 and 2 year old. Didn't know they would edit the way they did and pretended to react like they didn't know you would ever see them again. And my kids cried because they thought someone died. And I'm sure you're getting reaction like that. And I immediately thought of like The Running Man.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
You know, the movie where people would actually die in the contest. What's the feedback been from parents? I'm sure you get a handful of people who are actually a little bit miffed about it. But I would imagine most people get it.
People are having a lot of fun with it. I've been getting tons of videos and pictures on Twitter and Instagram of kids watching it with their eyes covered, you know, or running in and out of the room just to like see what happened. I think everybody likes that aspect of it. It feels a little dangerous, but it's not, you know, after their run, you see all of them talking again. They were interviewed after they fell in. So, you know, that everybody's alive and well, but, yeah, I think it elevates the tension in a really beautiful way, and
I definitely
something that needed to happen on this show.
You're right.
Yeah, I definitely felt tense while watching the show. I want to ask, when you guys were developing this, I'm fairly certain that early on you guys knew that you were going to have a hit on your hands. How secretive did you guys need to be to make sure that you know, somebody else didn't you know, maybe try and beat you to the punch? And then when you were trying to sell it, you know, it ended up on Netflix. You know, did you bring it to other outlets, or was Netflix the one?
Did, We took it a bunch of places. The feedback that we got early on was that it's impossible.
Yeah.
You know, it's an expensive show. It's big and scary to have 100,000 gallons of lava. Like, we weren't even allowed to use a traditional soundstage out here in LA. We actually shot in an old IKEA building in Burbank because the lava was very heavy and none of the sound stages wanted that, you know, liability on their hands. So IKEA ended up being the perfect spot. So we had to get creative and figure out how we could make it happen. But Netflix loved it from the beginning. Our execs over there are fantastic, and they really believed in it. And I mean, it's we've been working on it for a long time, so it's nice that it came out. The world really seems to love it. I think right now we're number 2 in the world on Netflix and number 1 in a bunch of different
countries.
It's
insane. It's so cool.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, it's Megan McGrath, who's from Boyertown, by the way, and she created the show that's taking off on Netflix. It's called Floor is Lava. And to follow up on Casey's question, Megan, about you know, intellectual property and so forth, when you have an idea like this and you start shopping it around, how do you protect yourself? A, how do you make sure nobody else has done it before? Even pitch the idea, because you can get yourself into trouble as if you may have stolen the idea. And then how do you protect yourself from somebody else doing that type of thing, taking your idea away from you?
I mean, the truth is that you just have to move quickly. I thought of this. I brought it to Erod. We were out pitching it in probably a week. And I think, you just have to beat other people. It's very competitive.
There's no way.
So there's no legal, you know, protocol that you follow to make sure that we had this idea first?
I mean, nobody had ever pitched it to us, and nobody had ever pitched it to Netflix.
Well,
who knows? Maybe somebody pitched it to a different network and they passed on it. We had no idea about that. Netflix has no idea about that. So we were in the clear.
And I mean, also, it's a general concept, Megan. I mean, like, it's like hide and go seek. It's like, you know, it's been around forever. It would be, as you said, and in Casey's point about you assumed everyone jumped at it. But again, this to do it and execute it the way you did it, there are different touches and things that you clearly, as the showrunner on this, brought to it that, you know, might have been hard for other people to fathom or understand what your approach was going to be. And that's what's making it the hit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thank you for saying that. I mean, I think, you know, it's not enough just to have a good idea. You know, it's all about the environment that it comes out in. I think right now the world is heavy and dark and there's a lot of bad things happening and people are just looking for a laugh, an easy laugh, something not too heady or cerebral. And this sort of fits that. I think people are also missing sports and there's, this sort of fills that void in an interesting way. Yeah, it just, it feels like it was the perfect storm of things happening. It's a good idea. It was well executed, but it's also like America and the world
needed it. Yeah.
To lighten the mood a little bit. Yeah.
So if you can scrape together a Tiger King game, then you got everything.
Speaking of that, do you think, do you think any celebs will approach you guys wanting to be on the show and would you entertain that?
We would love it. I mean, we all lost our minds when Lin-Manuel Miranda posted about it. Kristen Bell posted about it on her Instagram story. You know, yeah, we would love it. Like I said, we haven't officially been picked up for a season two, but
it's a no-brainer.
Yeah,
it's going to happen.
Hit number one. And by the way, I could see Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard easily getting on board.
And I would watch. It was just watching in general. Yeah. It, like that's why it was cool to get you on now, because people over the weekend looking for something to do. Check out the show, send those numbers up, and ensure a second season. And besides, you're from the area. We have to support you.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know what? They're probably gonna put a bear out in your honor in Boyertown, Megan, on the street somewhere with your picture.
Wow, me and that the big mouth guy.
Yeah, the kid with the big mouth. Phil with the giant mouth. Amazing.
It's a story for the ages.
Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, we're very happy for you, and we're very happy for us because we get to watch this show. So, congratulations.
Thank you. Keep watching, everybody. Finish the series so we can make more. We would love to make more.
Are you going to go back to bed now? It's 5:40 a.m. where you are.
I absolutely am.
All right. Megan, thanks for getting up early. We appreciate it, and congratulations to you.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
Thanks.
Megan McGrath, guys! That's wild. She's going to make a gazillion dollars.
Awesome. The odds against, because we talk about the shows, you know, they miniature golf and all of this. So everyone's kind of flirting with stuff in and around this.
Yes.
But this went right down the middle between a few other concepts and pay dirt.
I did watch, I was telling you, Steve, I watched Holy Moly last night.
Great show.
The miniature golf show, which is done in Wipeout style.
Yeah,
in fact, they do it on the set of Wipeout, from what I understand. They had these two women facing off against each other. Case, they put them in flame retardant suits, and they had these fire breathing dragons.
No,
breathing fire on them, and so much so that they had parts of them were flammable, and so they were on fire. While
Stop
they,
it! Really? Playing miniature golf.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was great. So I love this type of stuff, but this has that. Steve, it's about the people when they go in the lava and they disappear.
It's just great.
It's excellent.
And you know, when you got into the game as a kid, and that's what it taps into, that primal, visceral, nostalgic feel, whether it was like a shag carpet or whatever you had on your floor, you just, I have to avoid this at all costs.
I wonder if you could make a game called Fort, where two teams have to take all the items in the room and make a fort out of it, and then they get judged on it as who makes the best, most inventive fort.
I mean, presentation, like Lego, the Lego game, where the people are pulling their, you know, the Lego things. Anything, as long as it's, this has presentation to it, and that's what's making it work. I'd love to find out what that lava is about, though. My guess is...
Okay.
It's a hybrid.
There's a number of texts coming in about that people have seen. There was one, Nick. Yeah, here he goes. Says there's an article on Newsweek about this. That the lava is a different blend of slime dyed red. It's water, food starch, and xanthan gum, which I guess is something that they use to thicken,
right,
a thickening agent of sorts.
I was wondering why the contestants were being so cautious on things. It must be like really, really slippery.
Yeah, you can tell that it is, the way they slide off of it. Like, it's something that you could normally just grab onto and be fine. They're holding on for dear life and then end up losing and falling in.
And one thing I didn't know is if they, and I should have asked her, is if your foot even touches it,
I think you're
out.
You're out.
Okay.
I don't know though, because they're holding all, like they are. They some of them try to get themselves back up.
Okay.
So I would imagine if they are trying to get themselves back up, they might be safe if they get up there.
I think you're right. In the game, you would have to. I think both feet, you'd have to fall. That would constitute falling into the lava. But if you jumped, I forget how we play. You know, kids never keep to the rules that they designed.
No.
I forget how we played it.
Well, it was just more about doing it.
Yeah.
You transform so that you win.
Yeah.
I'm a new guy.
Yeah. The one guy I saw in, I think it was episode 2, the reason why I think even if you touch it, you're out, is he was on a chest and he was really, really hanging on. And they were like, and the host, Rutledge, was saying like, oh, he's almost touched, he's almost out. And then he ended up falling into the lava himself. But he was indicating just, you know, the way he was commenting that if he even touched it, he was out. But I don't know.
You know, there's also sort of that rock climbing element where they're going across like the mantle, you know, on the edge and trying to hold on.
Yeah. There's definitely some skill involved.
So locally here, Tobias Harris from the Sixers, he tweeted at Boban, who those guys were like besties. He was like, dude, Boban, me and you, floor is lava. Let's make it happen.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, Boban is what, 7'5"?
Yeah.
You know, you could basically use him as a bridge.
Nice. Yeah. By the way, somebody texted in and says, this is in my best Bill Weston voice. And then they wrote it in caps. I'm Facebook friends with Megan. I knew about this show for months. Congratulations, girl. All right. Fair enough.
Get the whole Preston and Steve show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.